This is CBS High in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ethiopia. The headlines are promising. Ethiopia combatants sign deal to start implementing truce. Nairobi headline. The Ethiopian government and Tigrayan forces signed an agreement laying out the roadmap for implementation of a peace deal that both sides reached in South Africa these last weeks. I welcome Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, and my guide on the Ethiopia civil war these last many months, complicating the story of the Nile, the story of Sudan, the story of Egypt. But the driver for the disorder and the mass death has been the Tigrayan Popular Liberation Front, the TPLF, being celebrated now and again for making advances against Addis Ababa and the central government led by Prime Minister Abiy. Now, suddenly, there is a peace deal worked out in some fashion. So, is this surrender or is this stalling for the future? Recalling my lesson from Gregory that the TPLF is a avowedly combatant Marxist organization that believes in total victory, no matter how long it takes. Gregory, a very good evening to you. Thank you. And the question of, is this a surrender? Can that be answered? Good evening.
Good evening, John. Well, of course, nobody would categorize it as a surrender. The reality is that it does give both sides a breathing space, but the TPLF in particular needs that breathing space because it has been comprehensively defeated militarily on the ground. And this was largely due to the fact that additional military aid and civil aid was not forthcoming, food aid and the like, was not forthcoming to the TPLF forces when they had advanced dramatically through the Amhara region and the Afar region and into Oromia, where they were combating the federal government forces. So they overextended their logistical lines. And at that stage, the government of Ethiopia under Dr. Abiy acquired significant numbers of unmanned combat aerial vehicles, armed drones, particularly from Turkey. And these were instrumental in literally destroying large sections of the motorized infantry forces of the TPLF, who were in soft skin vehicles, which had been basically provided to them literally as a result of the US forcing the Ethiopian government to send aid to Tigray in trucks. These trucks were commandeered and were used as the big part of the TPLF's offensive back into other parts of Ethiopia. So TPLF run out of steam. We knew this was getting serious a couple of months ago when the negotiations were underway under the African Unity's auspices in South Africa. And we saw a lot of TPLF generals suddenly deserting the battlefield and going to South Africa. At first, we thought that they might be looking for safe haven for themselves, but it seemed that they were going to be part of the negotiating process. And the fact that the generals, the TPLF generals, were involved shows that they knew they had nowhere else to go but to have this ceasefire and to lay down their arms. And they, in reality, did a form of surrender because they agreed to give up all of their arms. And that process, which was later after the South African Accord was initially agreed, they then had a subsequent detailed planning sessions in Nairobi. And those planning sessions required the TPLF to start giving up its arms on November the 15th. And they had a 30-day period in which they had to surrender all of their weapons. And I'm sure that they will have caches stored somewhere, which is what they have done in the past. But the federal troops will then take over control of all the airports and terminals and will take control of Mekele, the capital city of the Tigray region. And they'll certainly be heavily invested in protecting Aksum, the ancient capital of the region, where the great historical artifacts are kept and where in St. Mary's Church you see the Ark of the Covenant there.
The reports mention that Eritrea has not participated in the talks and that that remains a concern. Why so?
The Eritreans and the Tigrayans have always had a kinship, a love-hate relationship in many respects, but they both have a common language, which is Tigrinya, which is a Ge'ez-based language. So it's in many respects similar in its origins to Amharic. So they share that language. They also have the common approach to the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. However, the Eritreans were culturally different in that the coastline, which Eritrea is, was always influenced over the past few thousand years by traders coming from India, from Europe and the like. And so Eritrea today was heavily influenced, particularly by the more recent Italian occupation there. So they differ in some respects from their highland counterparts in Tigray region. Now, the Tigrayans resisted. Well, firstly, they tried to take back some of the territory from Eritrea, which had been agreed during the breakup of Ethiopia after the end of the Derg period in 1974. But they are fighting each other. The Eritreans definitely act as a safeguard on the as far as the Ethiopian government is concerned. They will attempt to stop any further outbreaks by the TPLF. The question is, as far as the Tigrayans are concerned, whether the Eritreans will now seize this opportunity with the TPLF being disarmed to make initiatives of their own. I don't believe they will, but that's the fear on the part of the TPLF.
You've taught me over these many months that the European countries and the European media have much favored the TPLF, and that continues in the Biden administration, the State Department. Is that now in some fashion moderated with this surrender, or apparent surrender of the TPLF, surrendering its weapons, or does the support for the TPLF versus the central government continue?
Well, certainly the U.S. State Department was active in monitoring and perhaps even participating in the African Union talks in South Africa recently. So I think the State Department has come to terms with this reality that they have supported the TPLF enough. They certainly got them the best deal that they could, although God knows why Washington would see any benefit at all in supporting the TPLF. I can understand supporting the Tigrayan population and from any predations by the federal forces, but that's not the problem. So anyway, I think by and large, the State Department feels that it's done its best to ensure that the TPLF were not wiped out entirely, although they were the initiators of this civil war. And they killed hundreds of thousands of people and have driven several million into internal and external exile. So this is a war of far greater proportion and greater duration than the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And the tragedy of these sort of wars is that we pay attention only to those wars which get television time. And the Russia-Ukraine war is getting that at the moment. And the tragedy of the wars, plural, underway now in Ethiopia is that they're not getting sufficient attention nor any balanced reporting. The other war, which is underway still, is the war between the federal government and the Oromo Liberation Front. And that's being complicated by the fact that the prime minister is the senior Oromo politician. Once the TPLF situation is under control, the government must turn its attention to the OLF. And there's been a lot of fighting recently in which many hundreds of civilians have been killed literally in the past couple of weeks.
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs, on the apparent pause in the civil war in Ethiopia. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.